the SEC Player of the Year, a man who led Alabama to the NCAA tournament, all around wonderful guy, Wendell Hudson, joining us on the program now. And I would have said that even if I hadn't spent a good bit of the last day with you. Wendell, thanks for the time. Great to have you on.
Chris, I know you played that and you talked about the 100-year reunion. I know everybody think I was playing back there when the pitch, we had a peach basket and you had to take the ball out of there. But we didn't actually, I wasn't back there that long.
It wasn't that far back. It was a good bit back, but it wasn't all the way back to the beginning. You know, you and I talked at breakfast this morning about that event and having so many people back. And I know you had a reunion this weekend. It was the 40th anniversary of the 74 SEC championship team that was in Tuscaloosa, and to be around those folks again had to be a special day for you.
It was, and some of those guys I hadn't seen in, since that that team played. Anthony Murray came back, and Chris, he was one of the greatest defensive player to ever play at Alabama, in my opinion. And I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I actually watched his son play basketball this summer at Coach Grant's camp. And so it was good to, we've talked and kind of text a couple of times, and I don't do much texting, so that was really short. But to get a chance to see him and see some of those guys, and Robert Chapman, I hadn't seen him in a long time, and of course, some of the other guys that I do see, Johnny Deal was on that team, of course, Leon and T.R. Dunn, they couldn't make it because of their involvement in basketball, but it was good to see all the guys back there and the coaching staff, and it was a great time. We had a little breakfast over at the Capstone, and I tell you what, there was some old stories told. I don't know if they were all true or not, but it was fun being over there.
Yeah, I was going to say, in that bunch, there may have been stories, but the over-under on the percentage of them being true is got to be below 50, I'm guessing, at some point. Hey, Wendell, let's talk a little bit about the head coach on that 74 team, the coach that you played for at the University of Alabama, a guy that did some amazing things. It was announced this week that he will be the Alabama legend at the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament. I think it's long overdue, but great that C.M. Newton will be the Alabama legend this year.
It is long overdue, and it is great that this is happening. And one of the things about C.M. is that there was a time you could not mention NCAA men's basketball without mentioning C.M.'s name. I mean, he was just synonymous with that. And in FIBA basketball, either worldwide. I was over in Spain, when he was at the height of his career, and I was talking to a guy, and we were talking, and I mentioned something about C.M. Newton. And you played for Newton? It was an exciting part of that person's life. I played for this guy that the world saw him as being, he was Mr. Basketball for a long time.
The fact, you're right. The NCAA aspect where he had such a huge impact, but you think now, and a major part of what got him in the Hall of Fame was what he did internationally, because he had the good sense as the head of USA Basketball to say, you know what, we're kind of tired of the Europeans with their professional players beating our college guys. Why don't we sick Bird, Magic, and the Dream Team, Jordan, and all the bunch on them and see how they like it? And the way the sport has grown over the 20 years, I guess, or plus, since that took place, is truly amazing to see.
I don't think you're absolutely right, Chris. I mean, his involvement in trying to make basketball better, not only in the States, but worldwide, and having an impact on doing that. You know, that first Dream Team, he was a part of that, putting that together. And that was unbelievable what it did for basketball everywhere, for the world. And of course, in the States, and what he did for just basketball in general, it was just unbelievable. He did such a good job, and like I said, worldwide, and of course, he was on the selection committee for the NCAA for many, many years as the athletic director at Kentucky, and kind of chaired that committee. And just his involvement in promoting basketball has just been great for not only Alabama, but basketball in general.
Wendell, when we look at the run that Kentucky has had here, just in the last few years under John Calipari, we look at what Billy Donovan has done at Florida, and then I look back and I see that from 1974 to 1976, C.M. Newton won three consecutive SEC regular season titles. You were there. You were a big part of that. You saw it. How in the world did that happen?
Well, it's real simple. First of all, we have some really good players.
That's a good starting point, isn't it?
That's a great starting point. When you start talking about the players we had on those teams, and Leon Douglas was a big part of the players that we had on those teams, and Charles Cleveland and T.R. Dunn and Anthony Murray and Ricky Brown and, you know, Johnny Deal and all those guys that was involved with those teams. I mean, it was unbelievable. Booney Russell, you know, I'm going to miss somebody, of course. But it was good players. And they played good basketball. And one of the things that I think that CM was good at, and I've told him this also, is that he let good players play. I mean, you know, that was one of the things. And you could also talk to him. Let's take Anthony Murray. This is a story I love to talk about and tell. Anthony Murray was from dribbling with his right and dribbling with his left, you couldn't tell which hand he really was his dominant hand. It kind of hurt him a little bit on his jump shot because he couldn't decide which hand he was going to let it go with. but from a defensive standpoint, I mean, he could do things wrong and make up for the things he did wrong. And this is the thing that everybody teaches players. Don't cross your feet, you know, when you're making a defensive slide. Don't do it.
Right.
Don't do it because, you know, if the player go the other way, you're going to fall down. Well, Anthony Murray crossed his legs and crossed his feet on those defensive slides, guarding people, and still recovered. And, you know, we talked to him about it, and Coach Newton talked to him about it, and John Bosch talked to him about it. And eventually, it was like, leave him alone because he can do it. You know, everybody could do that. And that's just one of those areas that, I mean, I think that one of the things that CM was able to do, and that was adapt to different styles of different players, being important in different ways.
Talking to Wendell Hudson, he, of course, legend in Alabama athletic circles and will be joining us tonight on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. Brian Passing has the day off, so we opted to go with real talent on the broadcast and bring Wendell in to join us tonight on the call for Alabama and Arkansas. I say that because there's always the chance that Passing's listening in. You know how insecure he is. So he'll be tuning in now probably to hear this. Alabama and the Hogs, but it's a huge game period when these two get together, Wendell, but to have both teams, as we are early in league play, having dropped two consecutive matchups, unbelievably important for both of these squads.
Yes, it is going to be an SEC battle. That's what it's going to be, because both teams need this win to continue their quest to try to make it and get a better seeding in the SEC tournament, for one. Two, to put a win to head to that NCAA tournament. You know, and both teams are coming off losses that neither – I know that Coach Grant don't feel great about the way, you know, Alabama played against Kentucky, and I know that Coach Anderson does not feel good at all about getting beat at home by Ole Miss the way they got beat.
When you're looking at the league this year, the ups and downs, and look, we're not even at the midway point yet. I understand that, so it's easy to get carried away as a fan when you see your team drop a couple of games in a row. Is the mental part of this, especially in a season like this, one of the toughest things to deal with as a player and as a team?
Without any question, you know, and everybody, the media coverage. Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things that you know, you know when you play well, because that's put out there in media all over the place. But you also know when the media thinks you played bad.
Right.
And dealing with that part of it, because sometimes you can play and play up to your capabilities and still lose a basketball game. And that's very seldom even looked at, though, Chris. I mean, and so filtering through mom and dad, brothers, sisters, coaches, girlfriends, whatever, everybody is involved in reading the paper and all the media and getting not reading the paper that much anymore. I just to tell you how old I am. But all the other electronic media ways that you find out this information and to get prepared to play and to put that kind of stuff out of your mind to go and play and give your best effort, I think this is a real challenge.